Our final speaker needs no introduction. She's our very own Lindsay German, convener of Stop the War.
Thanks very much, Roger, and thanks to all the comrades who've spoken before me and left me with so little to say. I'm sure I'll manage to fill my slot anyway. And thanks to everybody for coming. I mean, it's tremendous to see so many people here, and I'm sure we're going to have a great discussion. I want to very much echo people's sentiment of where we are. I mean, this is now 17 years since the War on Terror was declared. And by the way, the first war in Afghanistan, which we were told at the end of 2001, you know, the BBC's John Simpson got on a tank going into Kabul and told us there was peace and democracy now in Afghanistan. In the last 2 weeks, more than 200 people have been killed in Kabul, not in the rural areas, which have seen a lot of the fighting and so on. 200 people killed in Kabul by various bomb attacks. We're rarely told about this in the British media. It's a footnote on the television news, you know, terrible bomb in Kabul, let's forget all about it. It is now, according to people, peace campaigners who regularly go and work there to help refugees there, they say it is now an incredibly dangerous place. And this is a country that we were supposed to have made safe for democracy and everything else. If you look in Iraq and Syria and Libya and all the other places that people talk about, where is it? As well as that, we've got British intervention now in Yemen, in Somalia, in Pakistan. Last week, the British said they were going to help the French by sending, helicopter gunships to Mali. I mean, all of this stuff. Britain is absolutely up to its knees in rotten interventions, which are failing absolutely everywhere, even in their own terms. They haven't brought peace, they haven't stopped terrorism, they haven't secured any kind of democracy for the people of those countries, and people are living in this most terrible thing. And I think, I suppose for all of us, you know, we live in Britain and we haven't been directly involved in wars for a long, long time now, more than 75, just nearly 75 years now. We haven't been involved directly in these, and of course all the pictures we get of those wars are completely sanitised. You know, the films about Churchill, the films about Dunkirk, the films about all these things, that this is some sort of glorious little England escapade. The people who lived through those wars, both in this country and, as Dave referred to, in Russia, where they lost 20 million people, in Germany, where they lost far, far more, 1 million refugees in Germany at the end of the Second World War. In all of these countries, people suffered on a daily basis as a result of these wars. And that is why that generation of people declared, and Tony Benn always used to talk about this, that there had to, we couldn't have war anymore. And that was the whole basis of the United Nations, of which many of us perhaps regard as inadequate in all sorts of ways, but nonetheless was an attempt to bring peace to the world, to make sure that that would happen. And yet there has been a complete turnaround in the way that people talk about these wars now. You know, you can look at Yemen. You know, in Yemen today, 7 million people are in danger of famine. There is a blockade of the ports which are bringing things in. This should not be allowed in any civilised society, but it's going on not just by people ignoring it, but by the British government helping the Saudi Arabians when they're bombing Yemen. They have British military officers in the control rooms that help them to bomb in the most effective way. This is the kind of way that we've got. Not a single lesson has been learned. 15 years after 2 million of us marched against the war in Iraq, and unfortunately we failed to stop that war, and the Iraqi people, the Syrian people, and indeed the British people are living with the consequences of that war ever since that we've been doing that. And we're told all the time that there has to be justification for interventions on the basis of human rights. You know, you can watch any third-rate American television series, as I occasionally do, and you will find the reason that these guys are all tooled up in Afghanistan or Iraq or anywhere else is because they're allowing girls to go to school. They're helping women to be liberated. They're doing all these sorts of things. This is the kind of justification we're given. It's all about humanitarian aid. The military is not going to bring humanitarian aid, and there has to be an alternative to bombing. If you watch the films of the bombing of Yemen, for example, or the bombing of Syria or anywhere else, it is absolutely terrifying, not just in terms of the numbers of people killed, but in a way the impact it must have on the people that are still alive. You know, the tremendous fear that they must have, the tremendous noise that these things create, the idea that children could have a normal education or could have any kind of normal life, is just simply false. So, but this is the narrative fed us all the time, and I have to say, when I look at the Ministry of Defence and people, you know, Dave in particular referred to it, Laura talked about it, and these are the people who brief the MPs, by the way. I mean, the number of MPs I've heard who said, oh, well, I read this in an MOD briefing. You go, yeah, all right, you read it in an MOD briefing. I mean, these are people who only this week have said they now have a shortfall of £20 billion that they want the taxpayer to make up. This is at a time when, as we know, big NHS protests today, the schools aren't working properly, there's a huge housing crisis in this country. Incidentally, the MOD are involved in that because they privatised housing, military housing, and have lost £4.2 billion alone on that particular deal by selling it off to a private company. You look at this, you say, what on earth do we need more military spending in this country? I mean, the argument has been put about Trident and so on. What about the two aircraft carriers that don't even have any aircraft? I mean, this is obscene in a world where people are sitting homeless in the streets, where people don't have enough to eat, where people in parts of the world don't have water, don't have access to anything, and it's something that we really have to combat in every way we can. There's a man called Richard Norton Taylor, who was the correspondent for The Guardian, the defence correspondent for The Guardian. He's a very good writer. He wrote this week about the MOD. The MOD has a vested interest in exaggerating threats and in promoting concerns about a new Cold War. Why? Because they want to get more of this weaponry, they want to get more of this, and they will do anything that they can to do it. Now that brings me to the whole question of how much we have been let down by the politicians in this country, I'm sure on many, many issues we can all discuss. But for these purposes, on the question of foreign policy and military interventions and war, there has been a bipartisan approach two wars, which has been an absolute disgrace in this country. And Tony Blair has to take as much credit for this as anybody else. I mean, this was a time when he spent a week bullying and bribing and persuading Labour MPs to vote for the war in Iraq. But they say the whole machinery of government shut down because all they were concerned about was getting that vote through Parliament. They got the vote through Parliament, and we know from history what has gone. And it was a small number of MPs who really fought against that. Tony Benn was no longer in Parliament, but he played a very, very big role. Jeremy Corbyn played one of the biggest roles. It was a handful of MPs who really stood out as strongly anti-war. And in that situation, they were vilified at the time, but they were the people who were absolutely on the right side of history. Just as they were on the right side of history over Vietnam, just as they were on the right side of history over all these wars that we've now been involved in. And this is the question that the media and the mainstream politicians cannot get their head around. I mean, I was interviewed the other day about what would Jeremy Corbyn do if he was Prime Minister about these questions. And they said to me, what if Russia invades one of the Baltic states? What if it invades Estonia? What would you do if diplomacy breaks down? So I said, well, firstly, why do we assume that Britain has the answer to what is going on between Russia and Estonia or Lithuania or any of the Baltic states? But secondly, actually, Turkey has just invaded Syria and is bombing the Kurds. Do we say that we're going to go and bomb Istanbul? Do we say we're going to go and bomb Ankara? Do we say any of this? No, we don't, because even if we very much oppose, as I do, what Turkey is doing there, then actually there has to be a way of resolving this without creating further wars. And it seems That kind of thing, you know, this kind of thing that you have to be, you know, Jeremy Corbyn has to get on a tank himself and go to Estonia. It's the most ludicrous way of opposing politics. Or again, they say, what if there was an ISIS leader and MI6 came and said, we can assassinate them now, what would Jeremy Corbyn do? So I said, well, I'd hope he'd say no. So of course that's, you know, not allowed. But the truth is, we've seen Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton sat and watched in Washington, watched the assassination of Osama bin Laden. Now, most of us probably don't have any time for Osama bin Laden. Does anybody think that that assassination, publicly screened around the world, did anything to stop terrorism there? No, it didn't. Whereas, in my view, Jeremy Corbyn did one of the most courageous things during the election campaign last year, when after the Manchester terrorist attack, which was a hideous attack against young people, an absolutely awful attack, what did he do? Instead of saying, we've got to bomb Libya, oh, actually, we've done that already, so that isn't going to work. Instead of that, he said, we have to condemn terrorism, we have to empathise with the people who suffered in these attacks, but we also have to say that there are roots of this terrorism and you cannot disconnect it from foreign policy that is going on from this country. And I thought that was a very brave thing to do, much braver than saying, yes, I could press a button, which actually the British Prime Minister is never going to be in a position to do that on their own anyway, whoever they are. It's a much, much braver thing to do and much more important in terms of foreign policy. So I think this is an incredibly important time for us. I mean, I hope that we won't have to wait till 2022 for an election. I think this government is an absolute disgrace every single way you care to look at it. And even they think they're a disgrace. They just don't want a Labour government, so they're all hanging on, you know. But it's an absolute disgrace. So I'm hoping there will be one before that, but we have to be absolutely clear that they will use foreign policy against Jeremy Corbyn. It's one of the things that they do all the time, you know, that on Question Time you get these right-wingers, you know, again, the same sort of hysterical questions that you get asked of him all the time. And to me, you don't dodge this by not talking about foreign policy. You can't dodge it. But I mean, in this country has a history of empire, has a history of colonialism, has a history of war. You're not going to dodge foreign policy. It is part and parcel of domestic politics. That is a simple fact in this country. And we have to say we are absolutely proud of being an anti-war movement. We're absolutely proud of being against nuclear weapons. Again, we will be proved right over this. You know, and again, when people talk about nuclear weapons, I think Dave will correct me if I'm wrong, but I think one Hiroshima bomb, to even the size of 1945 Hiroshima bomb, will wipe out the whole of Newcastle. Like that, let alone all the other, the radiation, all the other effects on people as a consequence of it. Now, are people seriously saying this is something that anybody sane should contemplate in this world? No, we shouldn't. We should be saying it's not acceptable. We do want disarmament. We do want all of these things. And it's particularly sickening when you see the promotion of NATO, which has expanded massively eastward, which I think is one of the major forces for promoting war in the world at the moment. When you see the military, when you see the people who buy the arms that are built in this country, particularly the Saudis, fated by the royal family, you know, the flags fly at half-mast when the king dies, all this kind of thing. It is absolutely nauseating, and it is a horrible stain on British society. And it's what we need is a government that should say, enough is enough. Britain is no longer the bully of the world or the junior bully of the world. It's actually a country which wants to have foreign policy and foreign relations based on equality and justice globally. That's the kind of thing we should be fighting for. And I just think, finally, I think two things. Firstly, Jeremy Corbyn, again, there's a lot of rubbish talked about this. It strikes me he's one of the most knowledgeable MPs on these questions. I mean, Laura will have much better experience of this, I guess, than anybody else in the room. But I would say that the level of ignorance from a lot of MPs is pretty astoundingly high on this question, no doubt on other questions as well. But on this question, I think, you know, the sort of suspension of disbelief when Britain does anything is absolutely out of this world. And I think that he will be the kind of Prime Minister that would really make a difference in this thing. But I'll just end with this. It's also tremendously dangerous. We have the army, unelected, unaccountable, which speaks out all the time on political issues, aided and abetted by the BBC and whoever else, telling us that, you know, they know best as to what we need. We have the security services ditto. I mean, they're not as open, but they're more open than they used to be, and they have their own agenda over these sorts of things. And we have, as people have said, large numbers of MPs, not just on the Tory side of the House, but on the Labour side of the House, who are committed to the neoliberal military agenda in a way that that they really shouldn't be. So I think it's very, very important. We don't just see this as, you know, getting Jeremy Corbyn as Prime Minister would be a tremendous step forward, but it's only the beginning of actually fighting for this sort of policy. And that means I think we need... If you look, I think what shifted opinion was the millions of people who demonstrated and who kept protesting and who wouldn't give up and who... arresting other people who put citizens' arrests on Tony Blair and made sure there was a Chilcot inquiry, whatever its limitations, and did all those sorts of things. That created an anti-war sentiment in this country. It's incredibly important that it did, but we can't give up on that. The movements, the struggle for change, those are key. And that leads me just to the importance of Stop the War. I mean, please do join. Please, you know, you can join up the debate, you can take one of the forms away, but please not just join, but do everything that you can to promote these ideas, to promote these arguments, because we have a huge battle against a lot of the media, we have a huge battle against a lot of the politicians, and however good lots of the MPs now are, and it's really, really good that, you know, Laura and people like that are speaking out on this issue, and it's so important. We've got it. It's so important. Yeah, we were absolutely couldn't believe the Young Labour resolution actually when we read it in the Stop the War office. We thought, is that a mistake or is it right? It's a really, really good resolution. Congratulations for that. But you know, we need to keep on doing this because it isn't going to go away, and it is going to be one of the big issues confronting us in politics over the years to come. Yeah.
Thanks very much.